Mom Purity prayed, Pastor went to minister somewhere. So Miss Pastor is in charge. Yeah, so God bless you. Yes, I am in charge. And if Jesus is in charge. Amen, amen. We bless the name of the Lord. You know, before I invite this woman of God, I really appreciate her. She just came in from Kenya yesterday. Her name is Pastor Rebecca Twimising, and I mean, she's such a blessing, a wonderful blessing, and I'm honored. How many of you know Bishop Twimising? We have the wife in the house. Yes, it is a blessing. It is a pleasure. I don't know what to say. Yeah, so we just welcome you, woman of God. And before she comes here, I know you wanted me to give the testimony yesterday. And we're just coming from, you know, many times when we're traveling on the road, we never think of things happening to us. And I thank God for divine protection. And yesterday when I was coming from a meeting that we had gone to, Benny Hinn's meeting, it was late in the evening. And when I was down, rolling down in 635, everything was going on well. But, you know, incidentally, let me just trace back. Before I started the car, as we were going back after the meeting, I realized that my brake light was on. And I tried everything that I could to get everything back in order. It didn't work. So I assumed, nothing is going to happen. And I just drove on. And I was just thinking about the meeting all through. And I just moved down to 635 going home. And then all of a sudden, as I got near to I-35 on my way to Denton, before I got there, right at Marsh Lane, I decided to brake, you know, to just hit the brake and just, you know, slow down because I was approaching where I was going. And all of a sudden, when I went to hit the brake, lo and behold, my brake was not working. I just pressed and it went down completely. And it's like, okay, what is all this? I mean, it's like the devil is a liar. Or what's going on right here? And it's like, I just went from a state of panic, and I thank God because of God's, I believe it was just God's presence that took hold of me. And I was so much at ease. And, you know, that I just, you know, because I would have gotten confused and maybe done something else. Because I was at high speed, you know, 635, you don't go at 50. And you don't go at 40 or 30. You're right. You're at high speed. And it's like, I was like, what do I do here? But the amazing thing is that God made it. God just caused it to happen that there were not so many cars on the road at that particular time. And I slowed down. I released the fuel, and I just started slowing down and slowing down. And then I just looked for the next exit, which was Marsh Lane. And this car was not stopping. I didn't know what to do. And I tried it again. And my goodness, it was just still going way down. It was like, what is going on here? I called Pastor, and it's like, I don't know what to do. I mean, this car is not stopping. And all of a sudden, I managed to hit a curb. I just hit the curb and just went on top of the curb, and that's how the car stopped. And you know, I look back and I said, you know, the enemy has got bad plans for us, but I thank God because God is our protector and God is our shield. When the Lord says that He protects you as you go in and as He comes out, for sure that is what the Lord does. So, you know, it was just the hand of the Lord, and I just imagined as I stood there, because when I walked out of the car, because immediately it stopped, I didn't want anything to do with that car. I just stepped out of it and I stood on the side. And it's like, but I thank God for the peace of God and the presence of God. And I just want to tell you that the Lord takes care of us, and it is good to trust the Lord. And I just give glory to God, because anything would have happened. And I was telling Purity one thing, and I was telling Mom something. You know, God knows all things, because had I gone down to I-35 and decided to brake at that particular time, it would have been disaster, because I would have gone up the bridge without no brakes, not knowing what would have waited for me down there. But the protection of God and the hand of God. So God bless you so much. I want to welcome my sister, Pastor Rebecca Twimising. Yeah, why don't we just rise up in the presence of the Lord as we welcome the woman of God. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Wana asifiwe. Okay? Sit okay? Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Sister Catherine, for honoring me to be here. I want to thank Pastor Wanaina specifically for allowing me to be here today. If he said no, I would not be here. So I thank God so much for his goodness and this powerful privilege that he has given to me. As Catherine said, I came from Qatar yesterday. I went on second. because we have some of our brethren there who are working and they have church. So I thank God for what he is doing in the nations, and especially with the Kenyans, that they are able, they have the courage and the boldness to go into nations. Even in Qatar, there's a powerful church there. Praise God. Those of us who know, it is it's hard to have a church in a Muslim country. But those brethren are doing well. They are given permission and they are told, so long as you can do your thing inside the four walls, we have no problem with you. So they have a church which is comprising mainly of young people. I think if there was an elderly person I saw, it was one man and his wife from America, but mostly they are young people. We need to pray for each other, wherever we are in this world, so that God can keep his people and he can strengthen them and help them regardless of what is happening. So thank you so much. I've been blessed since through the worship and the intercession prayer. Thank you for praying for this nation where you are. The children of Israel were told, pray for Babylon, because in their peace you will have your peace. Praise the Lord. Even in Qatar, they are praying for Qatar, and the pastor there said he has a desire to have even one Qataris to get saved, because when he becomes saved, he knows their culture and he can reach his people with much knowledge. So that's what we need to pray for, so that God can save them. And as we pray, I remember one time when I was in a Bible school, and we were asking one of the instructors and say, please pray for us. He was not a Kenyan. And we said, please pray for us for what is happening in our nation. That was 2012, before the election in 2013. He said something that was very powerful. And he said, you people, haven't you read Matthew 24 or Luke 21 or Mark 13, which is talking about what is going to happen in the end time? So he said something that was, you know, we saw some sense in it. He said, pray for the evangelization of the world, for many people to give their lives to the Lord. And he said, pray also for the preservation of Christians. And pray that, you know, God can speed up the revival. Praise God. Those three things, that's what we pray for. Because of what is happening in the world today, some of the things have to happen. They have to happen to fulfill the end time prophecies. So what we pray for is the will of God to be done, for revival, for preservation of Christians, and for many people to give their lives to the Lord. Praise God. Because what is happening now, it cannot stop. In Syria and all those countries, it cannot stop. So let's pray for the protection of the Christians also there, and for many to give their lives to the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. So this morning, I came alone, and I was telling Catherine, I have never traveled alone that long distance. Well, we have always gone with my husband and son. So I was telling everyone at home, please pray for me. One, my husband is very sharp. Whenever we go on a trip, he is very sharp in his mind. He thinks very fast. And he is very, very organized in the way he does things. So I said I needed the grace of God to be here alone today. And as I was asking God, Lord, what do I share with your people? Because God has a word for the season, always. And what was coming to me very strongly was the power of trust in God. The power of trust in God. Because where you are, I mean, this is not where you are born. So you need to know how to trust in him. So let's look at Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3 from verse 1 and 2, and then verse 4 to 8. the power of trusting in God. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this afternoon because of your goodness. Thank you for such an opportunity that you have given to us to come into your presence and to read your word. We pray, Lord, for you to open our eyes, to give us a revelation so that we can keep it in our hearts, O God, and live on it. Because you have said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. So, Father, may you break it to us. May you give us a word, a revelation, so that we can get it and keep it in us. We thank you and we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm reading from Amplified. The Bible says, my son, forget not my law or teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Verse 2, for length of days and years of life, worth living and tranquility inward and outward, and continuing through old age till death, these shall they add to you. Verse 4 to 8. Bible says, so shall you find favor, good understanding, and high esteem in the sight or judgment of God and man. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight and plain your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Reverently fear and worship the Lord, and turn entirely away from evil. It shall be health to your nerves and sinews and marrow, and moistening to your bones. Praise the name of the Lord. The Bible says, when we trust in God, this is a personal thing. It's a personal trust. Leaning not on your own understanding. It is a decision that each one of us needs to make and trust in him individually, not depending on the trust of others, not depending on anyone else, but trusting God from your heart personally. So in verse 4 it says, when you trust in him and you lean not on your own understanding, it says you shall find favor, you will find good understanding and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Praise God. I believe all of us, you know, where we are working and doing things, we have come here to work and to, you know, to get something for ourselves. So God is saying, when you trust him, when you lean not in your own understanding, when you put him to be the first in your life, the Bible says you get favor with him. You get favor, you get good understanding, and you have high esteem in the sight of God and man. Praise the name of the Lord. So God in himself, he will be with you. He will stand with you. He will prove himself strong on your behalf. That's why the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 9, it says, when we are committed to God, it says, the eyes of God run to and fro the earth, seeking for those whose hearts are fully committed, so that he can prove himself strong on their behalf. So when we trust him, when we are committed to him individually, he will prove himself strong on our behalf. And we will not lose because he is there. So in verse 8, it says, it shall be health to your nerves and sinews and marrow, and moisturizing to your bones. Praise God. It shall be health to our nerves. We shall be okay. Our minds will be sound. We shall be alert. We shall be sober. Wherever we are, we walk with alertness of the mind. We shall be sensitive to what is going on. And we shall be able to receive, you know, that which God is doing. So it says, it shall be health to our nerves, to our sinews and our marrow, and moistening to our bones. I like that very much. When we are growing old, when we are trusting in God, it shall be moistening to our bones. Our joints will not crack. We shall be well. Praise God. I love this so much. That, you know, trusting in God is not just for other things, but it shall be well, it shall be for our health. That's why the Bible says, is it 1 John? It says, I wish above all things that you be in good health as your souls prosper. Praise God. It is the desire of God to be healthy, to walk in health, to walk in soberness, to walk in strength, and be well in our bodies. So, it says, yeah, it shall be health to our bones and to our marrow. We shall not be having ailing joints and ailing bones. Praise the name of the Lord. Our time is running. My time is going. I have to go in a hurry. Now, when I looked in the Bible, I said, you know, I was telling myself, so who are these who trusted in God and what happened to them? And one of them is Abraham. Abraham, the Lord told him to come out of his land, to leave his kindred and everything, and go to a land God was going to show him. Abraham trusted in the Lord. Abraham looked to God, and he obeyed his word. And as he went along to what God was going to do, the Bible says he built an altar for God where God spoke to him. You know, as we walk in this journey, I was just imagining ourselves. We have left our native land. We have left home, and we have come to this foreign land. God brought us here. You are not here by accident. The Lord brought you here. So, can we trust in God so that he can be with us? And it doesn't mean that there are no challenges of life. When I was looking at this, even when you have come like this, there are many challenges. It is not free. Yani, you are not just continuing freely. It's not bread and butter. There are many challenges that are there. But as we trust him, as we are committed to him individually, God himself is going to stand with us, and he will fight for us. He will give us victory. Thank you. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you for adding me time. The Lord is going to be on our side. So the Bible says, Genesis 12 from verse 1 and 2. Bible says, he built an altar to the Lord. Building an altar to the Lord is a sacrifice we give to God because of what he has done for us. This is through the substance that we get. These are through things that the Lord has given us as individuals in this nation we live in. You built him an altar. When you talk about an altar, somebody will say, what is an altar? An altar is a place where human beings meet with the super beings. It can either be God or the devil. So you build God an altar, that's where you meet with him. Praise God. So Abraham pitched a tent. Verse 8 of that chapter says, he pitched his tent in Bethel, and there he built an altar to the Lord and called him upon the name of the Lord. An altar also is you build an altar in a place where you call God. For example, in this church, in this where you worship, this is an altar that you create so that it be a place where you are calling upon God. And an altar also is a place of sacrifice, a place you bring your offerings to. You bring your sacrifices to God. So it is an altar that you and God will meet together. And because of that, God is going to be on your side. And when God is on your side, the devil does not stop to come to us. He will follow us in many things. As you heard what Pastor Catherine was explaining, it was a purely attack of the enemy. But God was there with her. The presence of God. It is not that we are not going to have challenges and issues. And it is not that the devil is not going to bring things. He is going to bring. But when we build God an altar, when we trust him, he is going to be there with us. That's why he told the children of Israel, the water in Isaiah 43, you will not be carried away by the water, neither the fire will burn you. And that is why he was with the three children of Israel. When the fire was lit, God was there. Praise God. So we need to arise individually and trust God fully and be committed to him so that God can be with us and fight for us. It is not that, you know, Abraham trusted God and God was there for him. He provided for him. He fought for him. Even when Abraham made mistakes, I love God. God loves us so much as individuals. And God desires that we be totally committed to him and trust him because he is faithful and he is capable. Capable of helping us in our issues. So you see, you remember Abraham when he came to Pharaoh, when he came to the land as he was on a journey. He feared for his life because of his beautiful wife. And he told her, don't say I am your husband. Say I am your brother. He lied. He lied there. But because he trusted God, in his mistakes, the Lord fought for him. God came around to Pharaoh and he told him, the moment you touch Sarah, you are a dead man. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. Brethren, if we commit our lives totally to God and trust him in every situation, trust him, be committed to him, God will fight for us. God will fight for us and he will stand for us. Even when we make mistakes. Even when we make mistakes, because the Bible says, my people shall not be put to shame. When it is not, you know, when it is not intentional, God is going to fight. And he will stand for us. Praise Jesus. Another one was, we remember Joseph. Joseph in a strange land, you know. But he trusted God. What I mean is, trusting God. In where you are, in that situation, being committed to him. So that whatever is happening, God is there with you. Joseph, in a strange land, he was taken, he was where nobody knew him. Nobody knew that he was, you know, he was a God, he was a man who trusted the God of the Israelites. Nobody knew him. And he could have done things. But even in that strange land, when he was taken to Potiphar's house, when the Potiphar's wife wanted to commit sin with him, he remembered he didn't belong there. Praise God. Praise the Lord. When you trust God in a very critical situation, you know you don't belong there. You know you don't belong there. It doesn't matter who is seeing you. It doesn't matter, you know, where you are. Even in the dark where nobody is seeing you, when you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you will live for him. Praise God. You will live for him. So, when Joseph was tempted, you know, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 39, verse 1 and 2, it's, verse 1 specifically, it says, but God was with Joseph. That's why the Bible says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When we believe God, when we are committed to him, God will stand with us. He's going to be there and he's going to fight for us in situations. Bible says, it was not a good situation for Joseph. It was a bad one. But the Bible says clearly, but God was with Joseph. In whatever situation you are in, it might not be good. But when you are a believer, a committed woman or man of God, God will be with you wherever you are. Praise God. He will stand there and he will cause things to happen. It doesn't matter. So, Joseph, he told himself, when that woman approached him, I liked what he said. He said, you know, your husband has given me to be in charge of everything in this house except you. So he said, I cannot do this wicked thing. Praise God. I cannot do this wicked thing. You know, that is what God wants us to be. in our situations, regardless of where we are and who, where we are working, what we are doing, God is looking for a man and a woman who will be totally committed and trusting in God, regardless of the situation. And God is saying, He is going to manifest Himself and prove Himself to us. So He said, how can I do this great evil and sin against God? You may be somewhere nobody knows you. Nobody ever even know that you are a Christian. But when you trust God, when you commit, when you are committed to Him, people will see God in you. That's why the Bible says, and we were singing that song, you shall be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. That is what it is all about. Christ, God Himself, wants us to show Him. You know, God is not here in person, but you are His representatives. So He wants to show Himself fully. Only if we can trust Him. Praise God. So may God help us in this nation to show Christ. It doesn't matter the challenges you are going through. God will prove Himself strong. You remember Daniel? They were also in a strange land. They were taken to a strange land. Actually, they were in captivity. But he stood and he trusted God. And God fought for him. God fought for him. It doesn't matter what was happening. God stood and fought for him. Because when he was asked to come and eat of the food of the kings, he said, I will not defile myself. God is calling for a people who will not give in to any defilement. Any defilement in our environments, in our places of work, it may be difficult, but God is calling for a people who will not defile themselves, who will live for their God, who will make a decision and say, I am trusting in this God, and I want to see His hand. I want to see His goodness. I want to see His faithfulness. That is the kind of God we serve. So with Daniel, he proved himself strong. When it came to the food and when it came to the worship, you know, he was also tried in the life or in his way of worship. You can be tempted in about your God in the way of worship. But him, he said, I will not bow down. Praise the Lord. Yes, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. God will fight for his own. Sometimes you can come to a place whereby if you don't do certain things, you may lose your job. But God is with you. He is going to stand with you. If you are going to do it for him, he will stand with you. He will prove himself strong on your behalf. Praise God. He did that to Daniel. When it came to a place where he could not worship those things, he was thrown to the lion's den. But God proved himself strong. You may be thrown. You may be tempted. Things can come. But the Lord is going to prove himself strong. He's going to be the fourth man in your situation. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. So what are we saying? We are saying, wherever we are, it doesn't mean things are smooth. We have challenges. We have issues. It could be even our own mistakes. But when you in your heart have decided and said, I will trust this God. I will believe in this God. I will go the way of this God. He is there for us. He is there for us. Yes, because when we see the children of Israel, when we see these men, they all made mistakes. There is nobody who says he went through and he didn't make mistakes. One was David. We all remember David. David, the Bible says, God said about him, this is a man after my own heart. And in the conclusion of David's life, the Bible says, David served God in his generation and he slept with his fathers. Yes, he slept with his fathers. And God said, I found David with my holy oil to be the shepherd of my people. Praise the name of the Lord. So you as a Christian, you are not there by accident. God has chosen you by design. Praise the name of the Lord. Tell your neighbor, you are chosen by design. And God's hand is upon you. It is only you who will fail God by not standing up to the challenge. Praise God. David went through a lot. He went through a coup d'etat. His son, Absalom, wanted to take over from him. David committed adultery. There were so many things that happened in his life. And yet, he was blessed. Why? If you read in the book of 1 Samuel, is it 1 Samuel? 2 Samuel chapter 12. You can go and read that. When he did what he did, because he thought nobody was seeing him. He thought no one was seeing. So he committed sin with Bathsheba. And after that, he killed the husband. He designed that the husband be killed in the army. Nobody knew those things. It was only him and God. But when God, because he loved him, he sent Samuel and told him what he had done. He said, "You have committed adultery and you have killed Uriah." So, David, that was where the secret was. He never defended himself. I like that. He never defended himself. He took the responsibility of his sins. When we do things and the Holy Spirit of God convicts us, let us take responsibility. That's where the secret was. When he was told, "You are the man," he never said, "God, oh, I was doing ABCD." He just said, "Yes, I have sinned against you. I have committed this terrible sin. I have transgressed. I am guilty." He said, "Blot out my transgression." Transgression is the disobedience. You know something and you do it. And he said, "Purge me from my guilt." My guilt was the manipulation in his heart. The thought that he had to destroy Uriah. Nobody knew, but God saw. Brethren, when I'm talking about trust, is total commitment to God from our hearts and taking responsibility of our actions. When he accepted, imagine, it was so amazing, because you see, when he was being anointed, when Eliab came, Samuel thought, "This is the man God wants to anoint in the house of Jesse." But God told him, "Samuel, I am looking at the heart, not the outward." Brethren, God is looking at our hearts. God looks at the heart. Besides everything else, whatever we can do, whatever we can say, God is looking at the heart. How is our hearts before him? God sees the heart. So, when David broke down, he said, "I have sinned against you." And you know what? David was the king of Israel. He could have said, "Away with," it was Nathan, not Samuel, sorry. "Away with Nathan. Take away Nathan from my presence. Because I am the king. And I have no, nobody can judge me. I'm above the law." Yes. But he said, "I have sinned against you. And you alone, thou judgest the hearts." Brethren, God is looking for such a heart. Wherever we are, whatever we are doing, God is looking for such a heart, taking responsibility of your actions and going to God and say, Lord, I have messed here. God is willing to forgive us. He's willing to heal us. He's willing to restore us. So when we put our trust in Him, He is willing to walk with us. He knows our limitations. He knows our weaknesses. He knows that we are just made of flesh and blood. And we can sin. But He is there to restore us back and help us to walk in righteousness. When we are willing to totally surrender and trust Him, praise God, He will help us. Another person in the New Testament, you can say, I've only dwelt in the old. Peter. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. And when he did that, Jesus did not say, away with Peter. He did not say, away with Peter. He is not faithful. Away with him. But Jesus Christ, when he rose from the dead, he told Mary, tell my disciples I will come. And especially Peter. Especially Peter. Praise God. I love the word of God. Especially Peter. And when Peter came, Jesus told him back. He said, Peter, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, I do. He said the second time and the third time. Because Peter had denied him 3 times. The Lord restored him back. And he became a mighty apostle. God knows you very well. He knows your heart. He knows your abilities. He knows your weakness. He knows your uprising. And he knows your strong points and your weak points. And he's willing to walk with us to the end, and to make us, to bless us, and to use us for His glory. Praise God. In our places of work, in wherever we are, if we can identify with the Lord Jesus Christ and say, this is the way I want to walk, God will never leave you. God will never abandon us. Bible says He will be with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. This is the God we serve. He's full of love for us. Full of love. And God loves us. And He values us so much. That's why the Bible says, all souls are mine. The devil has no soul. He never created any. All belong to God. So because we have known Him, brethren, let us hold on to Him. Let us walk with Him. It doesn't matter where you have been. It doesn't matter what you have done. I remember a dear sister. She has been working in England. She said, when we went to England, we did things. We did things. But she said, but God has restored us back. And we love Him and we will walk with Him. And do the right thing. Praise God. That's the God we love. That's the God we serve. He cares and He's concerned and He understands us more than any other person. You know, God sees the very depths of our hearts and He understands everything about us. If we are willing to say, Lord, I want to trust in You fully and to walk with You, Father. Help me in this situation, God. Undertake for me. He's going to do it. And we shall have favor with Him and with man. Wherever we are. And it shall be held to our bones. Shall be held to our joints. It shall be held to our sinews. It shall be held to us and our families. Praise the name of the Lord. So God is saying, can you trust me? Can you totally be committed unto me? Can you rely on me? And as you rely on Him, can He rely on you? wherever you are, can God rely on you? Can you stand for him like Daniel did, like Joseph did? Can you stand for God? Can you represent him where you are? Praise the name of the Lord. He's calling us to trust him, to believe in him, to rely on him. He is reliable. You can trust him. He is very, very faithful. I know this God is faithful. We have walked with him. God has been there for us for many years. We have proved him. He's a faithful God. You can trust him. And you are able to pray to him, and he will answer your prayers. Shall we pray? Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He is trustworthy. He is reliable. You can rely on him. You can depend on him. He's dependable. He is faithful forever. You are there, and you have been halfway. You had not been totally committed to him and trust him. And you are saying today, I have known I can depend on him, and he can be there for me in my situations, in whatever you are in. And it doesn't matter what you have been involved in the challenges of this walk, the Lord is willing to restore you back. Are you there and you need prayer? Just show so that we can pray. We have only 2 minutes. Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Just raise your hands and we pray. God sees. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you this morning, the afternoon. Thank you for these hands that have been raised. Lord, you know there are strong points, there are weak points. You know where they have. And I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that God, you may reach down to them and lift them from that weakness and strengthen them and help them so that they can be on track again to serve you, to trust you, and to believe in you and to rely on you. Father, help every one of them in the mighty name of Jesus. Forgive their past and help them from today henceforth that they may love you, that they may trust in you and completely be committed for the sake of your name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. The Lord has seen those hands. Anybody else who has another prayer request, the Lord has heard that prayer and is going to help every one of you. Anybody else who needs prayer on another line, any needs that is there, God is there to help us. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your people. You know them by name. You know their needs, O God. Thou knowest their weak points and their strong points. Father, I pray that thou may bless this congregation, that your hand may rest upon every one of them, that you may go before them and go with them. Strengthen them, O God, and undertake for them in their issues. May you prove yourself strong on their behalf, that God, your name may be glorified in their lives. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the leadership of this congregation. Thank you for Pastor Tony Wanaina and his wife Catherine and their family. Lord, and any other leadership that you have put in this place, may you bless them, O God. May you uphold them by your righteous right hand. Lord, the hand of strength, hand of equity, hand of victory, so that, God, they can trust in you. They can work for you in their lives, O God. Bless their families abundantly. And may you surround them with favor for the glory and honor of your name. Bless them, O God. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you so much. I love you in the name of the Lord. And it is my prayer that God may bless your lives, that you may shine for him, that you may reflect God wherever you are, and so that you can find favor in his presence, favor with him and with man in your place of work. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen.